This program is made possible by BibleWayMedia.org, overseen by the Ooligah Church of Christ in Ooligah, Oklahoma. Thank you for listening. Hello again. We do want to welcome you back to the Uncensored Dads and the Uncensored Word podcast. We are thankful for you being here with us today. We're continuing looking at the topic of, really just the topic of happiness. We've kind of looked at it from the stance of being happy and how to be happy. And today we're going to pick up where we left off last time. We began last time looking at how the Bible is a great encourager. And we looked at Psalm 119 and verse 116. But today we also want to look next at how the Word of God reminds us how blessed we are as Christians. And I think sometimes we need to really think about that because we truly are blessed. In Romans 5 and verse 8, the Bible says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God, the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." So as you look there, Romans 5, 8 through 11, we notice how we are blessed. We are blessed, why? Because God shows his love toward us, that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. God shows us how we are blessed because we are justified by the blood of his Son. We are saved from wrath through him. Again, blessings from God. We are shown how when we were enemies to Christ, or enemies of Christ, we were reconciled to God through the death of Christ. And so we are saved by his life. Again, blessings. And we are shown how we can rejoice in God through Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation, as we are reconciled to God. All those things show how we are blessed as Christians. And the world looks at us like we're strange for thinking how blessed we are. Well, friends, we look at the world, and if we're honest, we look at, when I say the world, I mean the sinful world we live in, kind of in a generic sense. We see how the world reacts. Well, the world is a very strange place. It's interesting how the world looks at us and wonders how we can be happy. The Christian should be happy. When they see us, they don't see the blessings from God. Because the world today looks through the glasses of materialism, through the glasses of greed, through the glasses of pride and arrogance and false perception of what success is, those types of things. And so the world doesn't really understand what it means to have blessings, to have happiness from blessings. Because as we think about, for instance, if you look at Job 5, verse 17, here Job says, "Happy is a man whom God corrects." That sounds strange to the world, but we should be happy because if we're corrected, that means we get back in the right path. He says, "Therefore, do not despise the chastening of the Almighty." And so we are blessed by God, and we should be happy. You know, the word blessed literally does mean happy. You look at the psalmist there, he talks about there, I believe, in Psalm 1. It says, "Blessed the man who does not, you know, do these certain things." Well, blessed means happy. We are happy when we don't do certain things that are going to go against God, and we should be happy when we are going in the path of God. So I'm going to stop there for just a moment. I'll stop my mini sermon, let Matt add anything he likes. As we continue looking at this idea of being happy and looking at the blessings and how the Word of God reminds us of those things. Brother Matt?
Dude, I love your mini sermons, bro. They're all good. It's all good. But I mean, like we're talking about, the Bible is a great encourager, and you know, like the Word of God reminds us how blessed we are. And I mean, even in John 3:16, we all know that verse: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And then you go to 17: "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world, world through him might be saved." And you look at all the many blessings, and what does the Bible consist of? There's a lot of blessings in there, but hope, right? And hope is the feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. How can we have hope in the Bible? How can we have hope in something that, or how can we have hope in a God that we can't see, or we see him every day by the creation he's in, right? And I mean, if you can't see happiness in your daily life, maybe you need to dig deeper into the Bible and find out what does God really want to show us as far as happiness? You take, we've gone over this plenty of times, but Matthew 5, verses 3 through 10, the Beatitudes, the blessings that God gives us, right? And then you go Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. What's he talking about there? We are the light of the world, right? I mean, if we have hope in what Christ did for us, we have salvation, right? I mean, that's awesome. And like I said, hope is a feeling of expectation, a desire for a certain thing to happen. I'm desiring for heaven. Would I want to leave my wife and children on this earth? To be there up in heaven with God, right? That's the whole purpose. That's what you need to find happiness in, and to try and bring as many others to that point as you can. And we need a hope for eternal life. So, but
you know, as you're talking about that, I think about, I was looking over here at Psalm 128 and looking at his first four verses, just go right along with what you're talking about. You know, talking about, you know, happiness and doing those things that make us happy, which the Word of God should, you know, looking at it should make us happy, studying it and reading it, because through the Word of God, we grow closer to God. You look at verses 1 through 4 of Psalm 128. He says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his way. Now, I don't want you to notice here in verse 2 and 3, I find, when I look at this, I think of it as finding joy in the simplicity of life. Look at verse 2. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy and it shall be well with you. To me, that is the most basic concept that still rings true today. You work hard, you enjoy what you have from your labor, and you enjoy the small things. Look at verse 3. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children like olive plants all around your table, which means what? You're going to have a home, you're going to have your spouse, you're going to have your children. That's where the blessings are. Verse 4, behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. It begins with fear in verse 1 and it ends with fear in verse 4, right? And the sinner will be fine, the simplicity of life, happiness from the simple things in life. And I think the world today, when I think about this today, I think the world tells us you need certain things to be happy. You need to be able to have the certain car, you need to have the certain house, you need to have the certain salary, you need to have the certain friends, you need to have the certain clothes, a certain, you know, taste in music, a certain taste in movies. And what kills me the most is how quickly I'm reminded of how the world's view of things, how wicked it is. For example, and this is going to age me and make me sound a little silly, but you remember Taylor Swift when she first got started all those years ago. And the image she had of a young girl who was singing country music, right? I mean, most of us probably listened to a lot of that stuff. And you have a picture of her now. It's not just the age that changed her. It's the Hollywood and the, I think you'd say, the Nashville scene that changed her. You go from a girl who talks about, in one of her albums, singing a song, and she's blasting an ex-boyfriend or something, and she says, maybe he's gay, to today, where she now is singing a song and doing a music video that's implying her and another lady being together, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. You see the difference. One, how the world changes. One, she's jokingly mocking her ex, calling him gay, to today where she would not even do that at all. Not saying you should ever mock anyone, but the point I'm making is she went from condemning something to condoning it in really a short period of time. And what changed there is those who she surrounded herself with. People who, probably not all of them are wicked, but the vast majority are. Were you going to say something, Matt?
Yeah, it's the world around you, right? It was the world around her that it started out wholesome, right? Just like the world around us as you're born, as you grow up. And, you know, her world started wholesome. And then as her world evolved, it's how much more do you want? How much more do you want? And that's what we as Christians need to decide is how far are you willing to take the worldly things? Because the more you go worldly, the farther you go away from God, you know. And I think it's like these verses are, your wife shall be like a fruitful vine, your children like olive plants. Man, I am so blessed to have the wife and the children that I have. I mean, my wife loves me for me, you know. I mean, if you could see me, oh boy. No, I'm just kidding. She'll probably kill me with that one. But no, but I mean, it's just the blessings that you see, you know, as Christians and as you grow and you're in God's truth, and, you know, the world doesn't have that, and that's sad. And you just bring up Taylor Swift again, how she was kind of wholesome and then the world got to her, and it's like fame got to her. But you notice that with a lot of movie stars, with a lot of music, you know, all that, it's the fame gets to them and they start changing because it's like, well, if I go against this, then I'm not going to have that same money. I'm not going to have that same fame. It's like, I don't care about fame. I don't care about fortune. I don't, hey, God provides in every ways. And I had to learn that, you know, you're still learning that, but you have to learn to rely on what God gives you and the blessings that you do see. And to go with the world, just realize that you are going away from God. So God will turn his back, you know, on you if you decide to go to the world. I mean, that's the sad point of all of that.
But you raised an interesting point, though. You talk about how, you know, how far are we willing to go? And I think about going to Hebrews 11, verse 25, when we're talking about here with Moses. You know, Hebrews 11, 24, 25 says, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, being called the son of Pharaoh's daughter would include that he would have tremendous wealth. I mean, the guy would have been pampered if he being the son of Pharaoh's daughter, right? In verse 25, notice what it says. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy, to notice, I like how the New King James words this, to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. And so he decided that instead of being enjoying this life of wealth and elegance and really being pampered and never having to worry about anything, he decided he's going to suffer with God's people. And the key part of that was being with the people of God. You know, you notice there that phrase, with the people of God, not just as a person of God, but with the people of God. And he says there in verse 26, esteeming the approach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for we look to the reward. And that is a tremendous thing for us to think about. When we think about happiness, what are we willing to sacrifice to get happiness today? Mm-hmm. And if we're honest, we really, and it comes to being a faithful Christian, what we sacrifice is sin. We sacrifice, you know, this world is going to try to put upon us their illusion of what happiness is. Now, we're never going to be perfect people. We're going to make mistakes. I don't care how young, how old you are, how long you've been a Christian. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to say things. We're going to think things. We're going to use poor judgment from time to time. But the difference between us and the world is that the Christian will, when that comes out, we recognize it, or someone helps us recognize it, we repent of it. We apologize for it. We ask for forgiveness of it, and we try to do better from that moment moving forward. The world, though, is not that case. The world, you know, we know is much different. It tells us just, well, accept us for who we are, or whatever. But happiness, getting back, not trying to deviate too far from happiness here. We look at verse 24 through 26 of Hebrews 11. It's all about happiness coming from being with the people of God. Moses, I think, knew that if he would have stayed as being a son of Pharaoh's daughter there in verse 24, he would have never been happy. I think don't misunderstand me. He would have had whatever he wanted. But I think his mind would have convicted him, telling him that this is not where he needs to be. You know, people today, I think many times we fall into this trap of perception. We want to be perceived as being happy. You know, we get up in the morning and we do certain things, you know, we go online, we post certain things so that we project a certain image. But are we really truly happy? And I think if we're honest, so many times we fail to realize that happiness comes from, like we saw a moment ago in Psalm 128, it comes from the little things. At least it does for me. You know, if it takes a whole lot for us to be happy, if certain things have to take place, if we have to do certain things or go to a certain place, or, you know, if our happiness is high demanding of worldly things, that's never a good thing. Happiness should come from the simplicity part of it. You know, Solomon there in Ecclesiastes tells us about that. He talks about how he could have whatever he wanted, but none of them brought true fulfillment. And so just something for us to think about as well is where we find that happiness. Now, as we look here at happiness and we look here at how to be happy, you know, we've looked at how we need to spend time in the Word of God. We look at how the Bible is a great encourager. We also notice if we want to be happy, I think this next point is very good. And we were going to look at something else. But I'm going to go ahead and move on to this next point. And that is, don't dwell on the past.
You know, I can't speak for everybody, but for me, this is something that happens to me all the time, is that if I make a mistake, whether it be something I've said to someone or whatever it may be, or something I've just done in my own private life, it bothers me. I mean, don't get me wrong. I pray for forgiveness about it. Ask God to forgive me about it. Forgive me. And I try to be better. And even if I never do that again, it still bothers me sometimes. And that's something we have to work with, is to not just to ask for, not just to repent and ask for forgiveness, but to try to move past that. If you look at Luke 12, verse 25, it says, "And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature?" Now, we know in this context, he's talking about don't worry about, you know, your food and all those types of things. But worry is something that has many aspects. And I bring up that verse in verse 25. And this is pulling out of context, but I think it still applies here for us today, is that we worry about things. Because if we're worrying about food or clothing, it's not any different than worrying about our past. Does it change anything to worry about it? Because if you have repented and God has forgiven you, and the Bible tells us he does forgive us, we have to do our very best to put those things behind us. And I say all that to say this: if we dwell on the past, it becomes a tool of the devil to hold us down, to make us feel guilty, make us feel like, well, you can't do this because you remember such and such. You know, that's something I think that Satan does to us. I think it's something that the world will like to do for you. You know, you think about it, someone makes a mistake in the political arena, or I mean in the public arena, which encompasses political and all that. But what happens? Well, if they're big enough people, they're well known enough, they hit the front page of somewhere, and the media just jumps on it and pounds on it into dust until something else more exciting goes on. You know, there are certain actors and actresses who seem to never leave the front page of certain magazines, and in some ways, I almost feel bad for them, because if they ever do anything wrong, or that can be skewed as being wrong, they are just ridiculed for days and probably for even weeks. You couldn't pay me enough money to be someone who's in the public eye in that big of a arena, because as a human being, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to get upset at times and say something you shouldn't, or you may make a poor judgment at some point in your life. And who needs someone to keep bringing that back up? That's what the world does. And so what we have to do as Christians to be able to be happy is to recognize and to remember the words of, for instance, of John there in 1 John 1 and verse 9, where he tells us that God is faithful and just, and he gives us our sins, and he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And that's what we do as Christians. We own up to it, which means we recognize our sin. We repent of it. God forgives us of it. And that should be where it ends. But we know the world today, and the devil, of course, will like to have us never forget that. We're going to say something, Matt?
Yeah. Yeah, the devil always wants to bring up our past, right? The past things that we've done. The devil always wants to throw things in our face and say, "Hey, remember when you did that? Remember when you did this?" Or, you know, and we can't dwell on the past. And like you talked about worrying. Worrying is very unhealthy. You know, worrying causes a lot of trauma. Just, you know, you could worry about something and you lose focus of the happiness around you, like we talked, you know, the happiness. Like if you're focused on that one, it can ruin your whole day, and you could have missed out on spending time with your wife, spending time with your children, having, you know, or what I always tell my kids is, if you're having a bad day and you come up to somebody and you're just mean, that could be the only Bible that person has seen in their whole lifetime. You know, if you're so worried about these things, and I'm guilty as charged. I mean, I worry about things, you know, you worry about things and you just hold them. And sometimes you hold them so tight that, you know, you've got to let go. And that's what God is. I think that's what God is saying here is why worry about tomorrow? Tomorrow's not even here. You know, you can't worry about your past. If you've repented of those things, God wipes them away. They're gone. You know, but that Satan, man, he's a roaring lion, dude. He will he'll tear you up. He'll just keep, well, remember when you did that? Hey, what about this? Hey, remember when you did this? And you just have to be like, man. And it's easier said than done. It's just like with anything. It's easier said. Oh, the past is the past. Yeah, it's easy to say. It's another thing to put it into practice, right? And that's even with our Christianity. It's one thing for me to throw Bible verses at your ass and say, hey, you know, you should do this. And well, I need to do the same thing, right? It's not just, hey, I know my Bible. I know my Bible. It's, I got to show Christ, you know. But dwelling in the past, I mean, like, two is, I believe that happiness is like a God's medicine, right? When you're happy, man, you get these endorphins going, and I can bring out all the science. And me and my wife talk about this all the time, and it blows my mind, man. She just tells me all this stuff, and it's like endorphins are going in your head, and you're just like, poof, poof, you know, it's a good thing, and it gets your body going, and it actually makes you more healthier than worrying about things. So I just think we don't need to dwell into the past. You know, you need to move on and look towards all the many blessings that, just take a gander outside. Look at the trees, look at the birds, look at the whatever you can, and just know that that's God's creation and he made it for you. So,
you know, you're right about the, you know, this kind of stuff affecting you. It affects you not only mentally, but also your health, mm-hmm. like your physical health. And I think I've probably talked about this before. I don't know. I've brought this up many times in different places, so I forget where. But, you know, worrying can lead to depression. Depression leads to all kind of mental problems and then can manifest itself in a physical way. I just use a big word, manifest. but it will show itself in a physical way. And so we have to be able to bring that in. And it can become very self-destructive. But I want to mention this last verse here, and then we'll be done for this morning. But in Psalm 103 and verse 12, the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. That's Psalm 103, verse 12. And that's exactly right. So we have to remember, when we repent and we are forgiven, the Lord removes those things. And so that's what we have to do. And not allow ourselves, that's what we have to remember, and not allow ourselves to be, you know, keep on bringing these things up. You know, it's a tool, when dwelling on the past is a tool of the devil and the tool of the world to try to keep you from being productive and doing other things you could be doing.
For sure.
Okay, we're going to stop there this morning. I do thank you for being here with us. We hope you join us again next time as we continue looking at this topic of happiness. And hope to see you again next time here on the Uncensored Dads and Uncensored Word podcast.
Thank you for listening today. We hope you enjoyed this program. You can find out more about Bible Wave Media by visiting us at BibleWaveMedia.org. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We thank you for listening.